adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bonham.
Here.
Mr. Nicolazzo.
Here.
Ms. Lapode.
Here.
Ms. Malkin.
Here.
Mr. Tipton.
Here.
Mr. Trammell.
Trammell.
Is absent for the record. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We start out this evening with a, it's on the agenda shows as the presentation of the Ann Baker resolution. This was a resolution, I believe, of the legislature of the state of New Jersey in respect of Ann Baker, and Carol Watchler is going to present that to us, and I'm going to read it to you all.
So, good evening. I am very happy to say that two members of the New Jersey Assembly, Joanne Downey and Eric Huff-Taling, were so kind as to put in a resolution in the New Jersey Assembly, and it was passed, and Jeff offered to read this for me, and I think I'm going to let him do it because usually I read things the size of the magnifying glass, so thank you, Jeff. And because it is a public document, I clearly believe that it should be shared with our public here in Roosevelt, and I hope that it will be able to be displayed in a public place.
I think our intention is to hang it in this hall.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. It's a resolution.
Thank you.
This is an assembly resolution by Assemblyman Houghtaling, if I pronounce that correct, and Assemblyman Downey.
Assemblywoman Downey.
I'm sorry, Assemblywoman Downey. Thank you.
Thank you.
In this particular case, that would be a terrible faux pas, yes. Whereas the General Assembly of the State of New Jersey notes with sadness the death of Ann Baker, a highly esteemed resident of the borough of Roosevelt in Monmouth County, who passed away on August 25th, 2016, and whereas, born in Salem, Ohio, Ann Baker, who spent several years in the Sisters of the Humility of Mary congregation, lent her wisdom and expertise teaching history in Ohio and New York, and she served with distinction as the Catholic campus minister at Trenton State College, where she also directed the campus women's center. And whereas Ann Baker worked tirelessly as a social justice activist in the areas of reproductive rights and marriage equality, and she made significant contributions in support of the National Organization of Women of New Jersey, and as the creator of the National Center for the Pro-Choice Majority and the Campaign Report newsletter. And whereas, in addition, Ann Baker further demonstrated her uncommon degree of public-spiritedness through her efforts as a Roosevelt Borough Committeewoman, playing an integral role in the development of the Monmouth County LGBT Caucus and exhibiting an outstanding example of leadership through her work with the Women's Caucus. And whereas Ann Baker was upheld in her life's efforts by her partner of more than four decades, Carol, whom she married in July of 2013, her parents, the late Hugh and Elmira, and her cousin, Dorothy. And whereas the family and friends of Ann Baker will always cherish her valuable and implacable presence in their lives and will forever hold for her an honored place in their hearts. And whereas, within all the spheres of her life and work, Ann Baker established a model to emulate and set a standard of excellence towards which others might strive, now, therefore, be it resolved by the General Assembly of the State of New Jersey that this House hereby honors the memory of Ann Baker and extends profound sympathy and sincere condolences to the members of her family and all those who mourn her passing. And be it further resolved that a duly authenticated copy of this resolution, signed by the Speaker and attested by the Clerk, be transmitted to the family of Ann Baker. That was it. Thank you. It's lovely. move on to the mayor's report. I prepared a speech for tonight, and I'm not going to give the whole speech. Anybody can have a copy who wants one. The basic text is going to be in a letter to the Borough Bulletin. But I read the Borough Bulletin on Sunday. I'd had it since Thursday. Read parts of it. Didn't have the heart to read the letters because I had a pretty good idea where they were going. And I really didn't want to be annoyed over the weekend. But in reading it and in considering the last several meetings about which I've gotten a lot of thought, it occurs to me that both the public and the council are somewhat unfamiliar with the laws under which we operate, and in some cases, vastly unfamiliar. For the last 18 months or so, I've sat up here, and during the public portion, listened to a group in the audience consistently and repeatedly question my motives and the motives of the council, accusing me of lying, being underhanded, and otherwise impugned my reputation and insulted me and members of the council, and purported to give fractured lessons on civics and accusations based on bad law and facts. And you know what? That's okay. And the reason it's okay is because that's what we're elected to do. That is what I'm elected to do. That is what the council is elected to do. You should accept it and carry on. The reason it's acceptable is that the public portion is created by... All right, who's ringing out there? Of course. The public portion is created by New Jersey law as part of the Open Public Meetings Act, or OPMA. It is not controlled by Robert's Rules of Order. The public portion is where citizens get to exercise their First Amendment rights and get to petition the government. They have a near absolute right to speak. I am aware of no corresponding right on the part of the council, no corresponding right to speak during the public portion, nor any corresponding right to answer questions during the public portion. Historically, Roosevelt has allowed that. And I'm in favor of it, because citizens come up, and it's kind of useless for them to ask questions and not receive answers. It may be legal, but it's kind of useless. Most recently, I and a majority of the council have been excoriated for failing to stop members of the public from questioning a member of council during the public portion. However, had any of us done so, we would clearly have violated the law. As to my failure to interrupt the public, I remind you that New Jersey law puts on the mayor the obligation of making sure that the town remains in compliance with state law and local ordinances. While we can set the time, place, and duration of speech, we can control things such as repetitive speech and physical intimidation. We cannot apply those rules unevenly based on the content of the speech. We cannot and should not hinder the public, whether we agree with it and even if we believe that the speech is insulting, vindictive, based on false facts, or otherwise. In other words, you folks can say what you want. I have to make sure I have the citations right. With respect to the public portion, the New Jersey Supreme Court dealt with this matter in a case in West Windsor. They opined, the First Amendment gives people the right to express disagreement with government policy, whether on a national, state, or local level. Heightened protection is given to speech in public forums, including the public comment period of a municipal meeting. We must do so even when it includes vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. And they were quoting there Times v. Sullivan, which many of you may be familiar with. On the other hand, Robert's Rules does govern the council, and it always has. And while there are many rules in Roberts, I will just point you to Rules 42 and 43, which you can go home and read because I know that's what you all want to do. But I specifically cite Rule 43, which states in relevant part, in a debate, a council member must confine himself or herself to the question before the assembly and avoid personalities. It is not allowable to arraign the motives of a member, but the nature or consequences of a measure may be condemned in strong terms. It is not the man or woman, but the measure that is the subject of debate. In other words, stick to the issues. Don't question motives, and don't question veracity. Lastly, the rules also provide that council persons must wait until the elected official finishes his or her statement before asking to speak. If he or she wants to ask a question of the member while they are speaking, the council person should tell the chair that the council person wants to ask a question of the speaking member. The chair must then ask the speaker if he or she is willing to be interrupted, or the speaker may consent or decline, addressing, however, the chair, through whom the conversation must be carried on, as members cannot directly address one another in a deliberative assembly. Now, that also, to a large extent, is a rule that we ignore. We allow the council people to talk to each other in a public meeting, and I think that's appropriate. But if we are going to rely on rules, we must remember an adage that I learned early on in my career, and my compatriots learned early on in a career, and that is, never cite a case, rule, or law that you have not read or understood. So basically, we are to sit here quietly while our council people speak, we, the council, and then we are to sit quietly and listen to their response. I hope this clarifies the laws and rules under which we operate, and that we will all do our best to abide by the same. Thank you. We now move to the consent agenda. Now I put all of you to stand. Would somebody like to move? I'm sorry, do we have any public comment on the consent agenda? Would somebody like to move the consent agenda?
Move the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you.
I would like to pull one of the items from the consent agenda.
Sure. Which item?
16-112.
Which is... Okay, if we amend the consent agenda?
Yes.
With the reduction.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else want to pull anything or have any questions?
Okay. I'm sorry, Mayor, who seconded?
Me.
Thank you.
Councilwoman LaPoti. Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bowman.
Aye.
Ms. Marzullo.
Aye.
Ms. LaPoti.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Tickton.
Yes.
We now move to Resolution 16-112. Would somebody like to make a motion to introduce for discussion?
So moved. Second.
Councilwoman Nelson?
Yes. In that appropriation, there's a $7,500 water sewer operating fund expenditure, which is connected to the bond ordinance 2016-022. The $7,500 is pretty much a down payment for work.
Right.
Yeah, essentially for work that's to be done. And I'm not sure that it is legal to pass this bond ordinance. So until we determine that, I would like to hold off on the $7,500 payment.
So you'd like to make a motion to table this until after the bond?
Yes. I move to table Resolution 16-112 until after the bond ordinance is discussed.
We have a second?
Okay, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So we now have, we now move to Ordinance 2016-022. Would somebody like to introduce that?
I'll introduce that.
And do we
I'm
have
looking
second?
For it so I can read it.
That's
second.
On the bottom of the...
Yeah. So, Bond Ordinance Number 16-022, providing for various water sewer improvements, appropriating $150,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $142,500 in bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt and the County of Monmouth, New Jersey.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. I'm going to ask for 1 minute while I go get a cup of water because my throat is incredibly dry. Yep,
there's a few different issues I have with it. We approved $25,000 for water sewer expenditures in the beginning of the year, and then we authorized another $10,000. So that was $35,000. So where did this $150,000 come from? And is part of that $150,000 the $55,000 bill to R3M to pay that?
We authorized a professional services agreement, Resolution 16-20, on January 4, 2016.
Right.
Resolution 16-60, we authorized another $20,000, bringing it to
$45,000. Right.
1686, in September, we increased another $10,000 for a total of $55,000. On November 4th, there was a proposal to increase it by another $46,000 for work done as part of the ongoing study. So the $150,000 would include the current $46,000 invoice and would include what is estimated to be the remainder of the funds necessary to complete the study. And those funds are contemplated to be recovered from a NJEIT, we'll call it loan slash grant slash whatever it is that they end up calling it.
But we have no idea if we would be, if that would be approved for us.
Well, we've actually met with them on several occasions. We had a conference call with our bond counsel and, let me see if I remember, our auditor, our bond counsel, our CFO, Councilwoman Lapote was on the call. I was on the call. Did I miss anybody?
Mike Samuels.
Mike Samuels from R3M. And based on the meeting that Councilwoman Lapote and I went to at the NJEIT a couple of months ago, bond counsel was convinced that this bond would generally be subject to a loan reimbursement from the EIT and or the USDA, although our auditor would prefer we did not use the USDA again. And that the EIT would prefer a single amount for the entire research project. As you may remember from a prior meeting, we have historically gone in on emergencies and said we need 100 for this, 100 for that. And one of the things they wanted us to do is to come up with an overall plan. So we went in and met with them for quite some time, gave them a number of documents and said, this is the overall plan. We need to know in order to conduct these. You know, we've got three options, right? Those options are pump, sell, or fix. And in order to determine the cost of each of those, we have to have an engineering study. And a proposal was made by, I believe a proposal was made by R3M, talking about the various steps in that proposal. So when we, you know, just to clear up what I think is going to be the next issue, when we passed Resolution 16-60, which increased the amount by $20,000, that did not go to our CFO ahead of time. And although that is supposed to be caught by one of our committees, as a general rule, we all missed that fact. Same thing happened when we increased to $10,000. CFO did not pre-certify it. The only reason that it became an issue in the last one was that we're at the end of the year. The amount of money available to pay this invoice, we want to reserve it because we don't know what's going to happen between now and January 1. And so he came back and said, well, gosh, I didn't certify it ahead of time. I've just noticed that we didn't certify the other ones, and we now need to figure out how we're going to proceed. Since we are going to go to the EIT, and the only way to be reimbursed by the EIT is through a bond, we are going through the bond process.
But you said you were told this a couple of months ago, but at one of the meetings, just a few meetings ago, when someone asked what the chances were of getting an NJ EIT loan, you said there was $3 million for the country.
That's a USDA loan.
That's USDA?
Yes, sorry. Not the EIT.
I should have known.
Yes.
That's a USDA loan.
We in Roosevelt tend to permit that at the table, and I agree we should continue.
And also I thought that there was a statute saying that since the $55,000 bill was not authorized by the council first, it could not be paid.
The $46,000, and the answer is that if you bond it within a 60-day period, it can be authorized. That's what the conference.
From what?
That's what the conference was with the bond council. The ultimate arbiter of all of this is the bond council. She has to deliver an opinion at the end. That opinion is the insurance of her law firm, and so she's the final arbiter of whether or not we would meet those criteria. She said if we introduce this this.
And we're at
I'd like to move Resolution 16-112.
And you moved it.
Moved it.
And that's where we are.
Oh, okay. All right. So you don't have to go through that explanation again. There was a second. That was your second? Okay. Michael Tickton's second. All right. Would you please call the roll on Resolution 16-112?
Ms. Bonus.
Aye.
Mr. Angelazzeri.
Aye.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Stain.
Mr. Tickton.
Aye.
Before we move on, the public hearing and final reading on Ordinance 2016-022 will be held on December 27th, 7 p.m.
We now move to reports of committee chairs. We'll start with Councilmember John Impellizzeri, Public Works.
Okay, a tree fell across Eleanor Lane on Sunday, and Allen Tree Service had to come out and cut it up. They'll be back on Tuesday to finish the job. Also, the Mack pumper has been sold for $2,623.50. Okay. And last but not least, the Shade Tree Commission was out here. They looked around. They did some stuff, but they have to come back again to finish, as they very often do. So I presume that that's going to be for tree trimming along Rochdale. But again, they'll be back. Thank you.
You have a clarification. It's the county. Monmouth County Shade
County, yes.
Councilmember Tickton.
Yes.
your community development and code enforcement, also environmental health and safety?
Yes.
Would you like to make a motion on environmental health and safety?
I'd like to transfer that to Mr. Trammell.
Okay. Is there a second at the table?
Second.
Okay. Is there discussion at the table? This is purely a council decision and appointment.
For Joe to be on environmental?
Environmental health and safety, yeah. Please call the vote.
Ms. Bowman.
Aye.
Mr. Impelizzera.
Aye.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Tipton.
Aye.
And Mr. Trammell is absent and gets lost. That's what happens if you don't show up.
That's right.
He's already said he was interested in doing that.
Yeah, well, we're also going to appoint him to pick up the garbage because he's not here. Okay. Mr. Tipton, community development and code enforcement.
Okay. Actually, I have nothing new to report. Code enforcement this meeting. In terms of health, the Monmouth County Health Department, the Board of Health, which I happen to be a member of, is interested in having meetings at various municipalities that are participants in the Board of Health at some point. So if the council's interested, we can let them know that Roosevelt would be interested in being one of the municipalities included.
Sure. Never hurts.
If anybody's in favor of that, mm-hmm. Notified. Okay.
If I can add to your report, there was a meeting last week with the various past and current firefighters. They have all agreed collectively to come back into the Roosevelt Volunteer Fire Company, which gets rid of a lot of issues and problems. I believe we will have at least 14. I may be off by one or two in the other direction. I think it may be 15, but I believe it's at least 14 firefighters. Yes, I've asked them. They're going to deliver it by the 27th, along with they now have to deliver to us a list of line officers, which they didn't have to do before. So they're going to have another vote and as a group and then come back with the list.
I think we should have a list of first aid squad members. No one ever really knows exactly who's on either squad.
Well, we can ask them. They are an independent
corporation. Right, but I'm sure they would.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad that was resolved that way because that seemed to be a rather torturous thing, the idea of having two competing fire companies.
It was a long evening, but it was a very productive one.
Good.
I have to say that each of the groups were civil, cooperative, and managed to work through the issues. So were they here, I would congratulate them. I'm sorry. Councilwoman Bona, Administration and Environmental Commission.
For administration, the borough is having a food drive between December 12th and 22nd. The seniors had a great holiday party with the comedian, and Dead Thomas and Jerry Millar are working on good programs and speakers for January. For Environmental Commission, the Forest Management Committee has prepared a draft of goals for the Community Forest Management Plan, and those goals will be presented to the Environmental Commission at its January meeting. The Environmental Commission will not be meeting in December. Nick Murray has agreed to serve on the Environmental Commission. The mayor will be making that appointment tonight.
Yes.
Nick Murray. And Nick will be sworn in at the January meeting. And the Environmental Commission now has a dedicated section on the bulletin board by the post office where we will be posting such things as activities and volunteerism and updates on various programs as we move forward. And that's all I have tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, do you have anything you wish to report?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Peggy Malkin, Finance and Planning Board Rep.
Well, the Planning Board met on Tuesday, December 6th, and they memorialized action taken on November 1st, which was the planning board declining to designate the borough property as a redevelopment zone. Also, Tom Thomas came, and originally he was going to discuss that with the planning board members, but since the council opted not to pursue that any further, that wasn't needed. So instead, he discussed with us a master plan redevelopment report. And basically that means that every, I think, was it 7 years or so, the town should review their master plan.
7 or 10?
I think it's 10. So it's 10 years, and we have to review the master plan. It's actually due at the end of March, so that doesn't leave much time. So the planning board authorized him to begin work on reviewing our plan. So he gave us an overview of why that's important, why it's good to do, and then before he left, we authorized him to do so. And finally, the planning board voted to approve resolution 16-107, which is approving the 4-bay emergency services building. And other than that, it was just some minor issues. I also wanted to say something tonight that I'm sorry if this embarrasses you, Deb, but did the council not vote last week to extend the borough clerk's contract for 1 month through the end of January?
We did, and that's coming up under old business.
Right, but that was never mentioned to the borough clerk. In her meeting with administration and the mayor, she was not told that the council had voted to extend the contract for a month. She had absolutely no awareness of that.
Again, that will come up under old business.
Okay. End of report.
Councilmember Lapote, Utilities.
On Friday evening, I had a call from Toby Moore, who mentioned three problems with our water plant. The roof of the water treatment plant is leaking significantly. He went up there and found 8 inches of water on the roof. The drains were completely clogged with leaves, and so the water had nowhere to go. He got a pump up there and pumped as much of the water off the roof as he could. He engaged a firm to clean the drains, and they were able to clean out one of the drains, but the other drain, in the last time that the roof had been done, they roofed right over the drain, so they couldn't even find where the drain is supposed to be. He used a broom and a rake to get most of the leaves off the roof and then push the rest of the water off the roof with the broom. The roof of the water treatment plant needs to be redone. He sent me a video, which I have forwarded to the clerk, so it's a matter of public record. Should anyone want to view the video of the water on the roof, it's about a 6-minute video.
When you say redone, the roof has to be redone, like a whole new roof or repaired? Or
a whole new roof. Because the roof should have some slight pitch to it so that the water will drain towards the drain. The other thing which really needs to be done is to find where the other drain is, uncover it, and allow the water to drain out of it. Right now, the tar from the roof, having nowhere to go, is coming through the opening which was made to put the filters into the water treatment plant, and is, you know, staining the new filters and the floor and the walls. And all of this is quite obvious in the video if you'd like to view it. Besides the roof, there is a leak on a flange in well number 4. So we're using well number 3 right now, and that flange will be repaired. It's a Schedule 80. I'm not sure what that means, but there's a video on that, too. And there's another leaking flange on the backwash pipe. So that will be repaired at the same time. So we've got three problems at the water treatment plant. We have a current loan with the USDA, and they had done a review of our civil rights compliance. And at the same time, they sent to the borough clerk a limited English proficiency requirement that was supposed to have been completed by November 30th, but when we talked with them, they hadn't even been trained on it. So they gave us a reprieve, but we should be, now that the training has taken place at USDA, we were invited to be part of their webinar, which explained how you complete those papers. We should be working on the limited English proficiency implementation strategy because we do still have the USDA loan.
The smaller loan.
The smaller loan.
Because we refunded the first one.
Correct.
Okay.
De-icing material storage. I had noticed that our de-icing material was stored on the ground near the sewage treatment plant. And under our stormwater permit, we really should not have salt storage on the ground for a number of reasons. One is that as it rains, the salt goes into the ground. But the other one is that when you're using the salt, you don't actually get to scrape off the whole bottom of the salt pile because it's, by that time, combined with dirt. So I called DEP to ascertain exactly what they expect in terms of a salt storage facility. And they explained that since we're just using a temporary storage facility, we could put down an asphalt pad, not concrete, because that would degrade because of the salt being stored on it. You could put barriers on three sides. The opening should be on the downflow side, away from any water bodies. And just put a tarp over it. That way, when you're using the salt, you just flip up the tarp, use your backhoe to or shovel to get the salt out, spread the salt on the streets when it's snowy, and put the tarp back. We should be able to scrape all the way down to that asphalt and not lose as much salt over time, and also not have the runoff that would enter the streams. So KTK put together a proposal for our de-icing material storage. Their proposal is for $6,000. I don't know if the council wishes to get other proposals for this kind of thing, but I think it really is necessary for compliance with our DEP stormwater permit, and it would also prevent further degradation of the stream, and it would make best use of our de-icing material.
I understood, or I was told that KTK is doing that at cost because it makes their life easier as well.
It does.
I don't think there'd be any harm in calling another company.
That we use KTK too much and that we should get other.
Who told you this?
Our CFO.
If you can get other bids, the problem that we have with KTK, certainly not in this circumstance, which is why I'm suggesting there's no reason not to call around, is that KTK is our go-to emergency crew. And when we call them, in the vast majority of cases, it's a situation where we don't have time to call, you know, to get bids. We've got a leak on, you know, on 571 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
so that's
other than
why
that,
in this
there's
circumstance,
no reason.
As long as it's
yeah.
Hasn't snowed yet, we can.
Yeah. I don't see any problem with getting additional bids. Good idea.
We should.
Yeah.
We should get multiple quotes.
Yeah. We're all in agreement.
Thank you.
And one final thing is that I spent a lovely hour earlier today on the phone with the Monarch Butterfly people. They had a webinar for all those that signed the mayor's pledge about monarch butterflies. And the expert which talked about planting milkweed was from the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas. Chip was very informative. But I have to say that most of the other towns that signed a monarch pledge must be much larger, because he stressed what was happening, you know, how you could plant 500 milkweed plants. And we we're nowhere near that.
but 500 houses, everybody planted one, we don't have that many.
But he did explain how they should be 18 inches apart. You should use straw mulch, not other kinds of mulch, because it's least toxic for the plants.
Right, not only 500, but they have to be 18 inches apart.
Yes. Well, if anyone has any further questions about milkweeds, I took notes.
I have a question about the roof?
Yes.
Who is responsible for maintaining the gutters so that the leaves don't accumulate?
I assume that it's our operator.
So it may also be, it also may be public works, because I know we do some of the work out of the water and sewer plant just to split it between. It's sometimes cheaper for us to be able to do it with our existing employees than to bring in somebody else. Historically, at the plant, we've only had one person there at a time.
Yeah.
So
basically, it's our fault. Yeah. We neglected.
We've made the distinction in the past that where it's the equipment that's utilities, where it's the building or the grounds, it's public property, so it should be treated like other public property.
Well, I think what happens is that people don't go on the roof of the water treatment facility with any regularity because it's the roof.
Many other roofs
but
with regularity.
Yes, in autumn.
How many 18-inch squares could we put on the top of the roof?
Oh. Yes.
But we need to be mindful of that, obviously, because it was neglect that led to that.
Well, and there's also many more trees around our water and sewer facilities. I think lots of other water and sewer facilities clear an area that's larger than the fenced-in area, so that you don't get as many leaves falling on the roofs of the facilities. But as we know how expensive it is to take down trees, and these are healthy trees, and they're on the outside of the fence, they're there.
But a little preventive maintenance every fall would
be appropriate. We have to do it in our own houses here more than someone who, say, lives in the city.
And owns a house in the city. Means they can probably afford to hire somebody. Just a thought. Okay. I take my slap for not being on the Monarch Butterfly webinar.
It's okay. I covered for you.
And for obvious reasons, we'll make no comments about the University of Kansas. Yes, my wife was there for 4 years. Okay. Moving on, reports of borough officials. That would be Eitan. I don't see Joe here. So is there something we need or want Eitan to report on? No? Okay. We now move on to old business, shared services agreement with Hightstown Borough for Municipal Clerk Services. At the last meeting, there was a motion made to extend. So we have an existing contract with Hightstown, which expires on December 31 for Municipal Clerk Services. There was a motion made to extend it another month. Two things have happened. One is it was fairly clear that people were confused about what exactly we were voting on. And the second is Ms. Soprani, who has been serving as our municipal clerk, is applying for a position as a combined clerk administrator in Hightstown, which is a, I assume, better paying job and carries with it a fair amount of prestige and is very interested in obtaining that job. So I am going to ask for a motion to rescind the resolution that we passed last time.
I would like to discuss that first.
Yes, I'm going to ask for a motion. There'll be a motion, a second, and then discussion.
Okay.
A motion to rescind that so that the contract expires on December 31 when it would otherwise expire.
Can I make the motion for purposes of discussion?
Second.
Ms. Malkin?
Why wasn't she told, though? She had no idea that we had voted to extend her contract.
Well, I don't know that she wasn't told. I'm sorry.
Regardless of the fact that she's applying for another job, she has not heard yet. She doesn't know. She may have opted, possibly, to stay for another month. She had no idea that that's how the council voted to retain, extend her contract for a month. She was not told. You never told her in that meeting.
I'm not sure that's accurate, but whether or not it's accurate, I'm not sure that it's relevant, since the argument for extending was to have two clerks here at the same time, and we have made other arrangements knowing that this contract was going to end.
But you
and
specifically
she has
disregarded the vote of the council who wanted. You're saying you don't think people were sure of what they voted on. We know what we voted on, to extend her contract to January 31st.
Well,
she
I'm not sure who we are supposed to include.
The council voted 4-2 to extend her contract until January 31st. The four people who voted knew that they voted to extend it to January 31st so that there would be a transition period. And she was not made aware of that. Now, she may have chosen to say, no, thank you, I'll leave on December 31st, but she was unaware that that council vote had taken place. You disregarded informing her of a council vote, council decision.
I don't believe that that's accurate. Nonetheless, may I speak? I don't believe that that's accurate, but whether or not it is accurate is irrelevant to the motion. The motion is a motion to rescind any extension and to have the existing contract terminate by its terms on December 31.
But I wanted to discuss it before, and you asked me to wait until now. That's why I'm discussing it now.
I have no problem with you discussing it.
Right.
I'm not suggesting
so
you can.
Aside from the motion, I think it was extremely irresponsible of you and the administration committee to not inform her, to just go on as if she understood that her contract ended December 31st.
The nature of the conversation was not around the act of the council or the failure of the council to act on anything.
But you did fail to inform her of a council decision that affected her directly.
You keep saying that. I'm not sure that that's true. You weren't in the meeting.
I was told
whether
that
it's
by Deb, so I don't know how much more accurate it could be.
Okay. So I'm not going to question her memory. There is a motion, nor am I going to swear that it was said. Okay?
That what was said?
That there was a specific conversation about whether or not that motion had passed.
The motion passed.
I do not remember. Your comment is she was not informed that the council voted on and passed the resolution.
Right.
The motion. Right?
Right.
Okay. I am saying I am not swearing that that was discussed in the meeting.
Could you put that in more plain terms? Because I really don't know what you're saying.
My vague memory is it was discussed. I wouldn't swear to it.
I was told that.
I know, you keep saying that.
Well, because she told me she had no idea that we had voted to extend her contract.
Okay. At this point, it's not relevant to the motion.
I want to bring out that you failed to inform her of a council decision.
I don't know how much better you can bring it out than repeating it six times.
Well, because you want to disregard the fact that you completely disregarded the council and their wishes. Not so much personally about the clerk, but that we voted on something and you never mentioned it, assuming she didn't know, which she didn't, and you just never mentioned it to her. It was a council decision.
And there was a discussion about other matters. I don't think that that was necessarily relevant. If it was,
but
apologies.
The council must have thought it was relevant since that's how the vote went.
Well, I'm not sure that's clear either. There seems to be some confusion over that.
Well,
which
what
is
do you
why.
Think the confusion is?
What is the confusion?
I think that there are people on the council who voted who were confused about what it, how exactly the question was phrased.
We all knew that it was to go. Am I wrong? I'll ask the people who voted that we would extend the contract through January 31st so that there would be a transition period. Michael, could you?
That was my understanding.
John?
My understanding as well.
And Joe was the other person who voted yes, and he's not here. So.
But I know that's what he also felt, that it was to extend it till January 31st so there would be a transition period. So why do you assume we didn't know? And why wouldn't you tell her?
Okay, you keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Well, because you're not
I
giving
do
her
not,
response.
I do not. I have responded. I do not remember whether or not we told her. If we did not tell her, I apologize. The discussion was not in relation to the motions of the council. Would you like me to say it again?
Well,
I can say it over and over again as
yeah,
many times as you keep saying it, but
because
you're not.
Because you're double-talking, because you're not taking responsibility for what transpired.
Okay, how would you like me to take responsibility?
The two people on the administration committee voted no as far as extending the contract. And those are the people who spoke to her as well as you, and no, and you didn't tell her. The two people who said who voted no not to extend her contract went into the meeting, never told her that her contract, if she so desired, would be extended for 1 month.
And there were other discussions absolutely
I know,
unrelated
you
to the motion
services.
Of there were other discussions unrelated to the motion of the council.
Not my point.
I know what your point is. I've heard your point again and
I
again
think
and
that
again.
Was
so
completely remiss of administration and the mayor to not inform her.
Got
and
it.
That could
Thank
have
you.
Been an option for her.
Got it. Thank you. Noted. Apologized for. Can we continue?
Well, I prefer to keep discussing, but go ahead.
Okay. Please feel free to discuss.
Why wouldn't you tell her? Because the three people in the meeting did not want to extend the contract. You were against it the night of the discussion. You voted against it. And since you were the three who met with her, you just very conveniently didn't tell her. She may have said no thank you. She may have said I received the job I was applying for. Or she may have said, sure, I'll stay for another month, help with the transition. But you don't know since it didn't. She wasn't offered that. She wasn't told. You disregarded the vote of the council. And it may have changed. You know, she may not be leaving the 31st of December. She may have stayed till January 31st. We don't know. But she certainly should have been informed. And I just find it very suspect that the three people who did not want her contract extended are the three people who met with her and didn't tell her that she had that option. There were other matters that were discussed. You keep saying that. What other matters? We're the council. What other matters were discussed?
I'm going to ask for a motion. I'm sorry, I'm going to ask for a vote on the motion. The motion is to allow the shared service agreement to terminate on December 31 as it is currently scheduled to happen.
I believe the motion is to rescind the previous motion.
Yes.
Which would have that effect, but if it's a no vote would mean that it continues to the 31st.
Of January.
January.
Yes.
The motion was to rescind the vote on the municipal clerk renewal extension for a 1 month period.
Right. I'm asking people to vote yes, which would rescind the last motion.
Correct.
Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelizzeri.
Yes.
Ms. Lapodi.
Yes.
Ms. Mathen.
No.
Mr. Tickton.
No.
We now move on to new business. Use of the Borough Hall has been requested by First Aid. I believe this was cleared on the calendar.
Yeah, Kelly said she had checked it.
Okay. So we've been asked for two uses of the Borough Hall, one being on, well, two, being on January 8th and February 12th, and the second being on February 25th, 2017. Do I have a motion to approve those uses?
Second.
I don't think we need a roll on this, do we?
No, they can just...
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, go ahead. I've been asked to appoint Nicholas Murray to the unexpired term on the Environmental Commission ending December 31, 2018. Whose position is he taking?
Alana Janowitz.
Okay. And is Mr. Murray in the room?
Mr. Murray, are you in there? No, he's not.
Okay. Let's see. Environmental Commission, is that council approval? No, I don't think so. I think it's just an appointment.
So, but okay.
Right, it's an appointment.
New Jersey DOT Municipal Aid Grant. Who put this on the agenda?
The engineer sent a letter.
Yes, Roberts, right.
Yes, because the NJDOT applications for municipal aid have come out for 2017, and she has made her recommendations. Applications are due on or before February 3rd, so she needs to know if you're going to move forward.
Apologize, it's the one document that didn't work.
That's in the back. Kelly didn't include it in the original packet, but I put it, there you go, man.
Thank you.
I just put it behind everybody's.
Sorry about this, folks. I'll take a minute. Oh, yeah. NERCO Homestead and Cedar Court. Okay, so she's reapplying for the loans we didn't get in 2015, or the grants we didn't get in 2015, and we didn't get in 2016. It's $2,500 for her to complete the forms and do whatever's necessary to get the, to try to get the grants for those roads, which are certainly in need of improvement.
But she is asking us to choose. She's recommending that the scope of the grant application be reduced to one of the following: either Homestead Lane and Cedar Court or NERCO Road Phase 2. Because if you put all three roads on the same application, it results in $650,000, which
right.
is too high. We'll never get that amount. We probably can get the $200,000, so we need to choose.
I, personal opinion, just having looked at these, we've done a fair amount of work on NERCO Road. It would be nice to do more, but I know that Cedar Court is in terrible shape.
I agree.
And so is the half of, three-quarters of Homestead Lane that was never done.
Right. What? Where is that? I'm asking where the portion is that wasn't
it
done.
It sort of stops before the synagogue.
Yeah, at the synagogue.
Okay.
It's right after...
It's right to the wall.
The house next to mine. 19
right,
to
it's right before the synagogue.
It's right around there. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's right before the synagogue all the way to the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And the ground is crumbling in front of my house.
So is everybody in favor of option one, which is Homestead Lane and Cedar Court?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And are we in favor of having her proceed with that at a cost not to exceed $2,500?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Moving on. Next on this list, and I'll let just populate the list. Okay. Yeah, this is a new one. Cemetery issue. So here's the problem. We have a family that has a relative who is buried in the cemetery. One of the children is going to be cremated. And what they...
Eventually? Or...
It's coming up because it's expected to be in the near future.
Okay.
But
they're not dead yet.
Right. That's fine.
I'm not quite sure. I'd have to send it back. So, but not relevant to the question for the moment. Okay. We'll come back to it. I just cannot remember. And anybody who's got Kelly's text number, text her and ask her, because she's the one who had the conversations. Please. So here's the issue. What they want to do is they want to take the ashes and not spread them over the current site. They want to bury the ashes. Based on our current ordinances, you can't dig up a grave and dump ashes in there. To be perfectly honest, I don't know why the heck she asked us.
Wait, you can't dig up an existing grave?
Well, how do you account for somebody going up and putting more remains on top of existing remains?
That's what I mean. They want to go on top of someone who's already there?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do that now.
It's done. We've done that already.
Yeah.
We did that with Bernie Klein and Mrs. Klein.
Yeah.
Bernie Klein. No, he died first. They both were put, had the remains in little boxes, and they buried her remains in the same plot that his remains were.
Yes, we buried a box.
Right.
Or
yes.
An urn.
Yeah. A box or an urn.
A little box. Right.
Yeah, we did the same thing with George Shelley.
Right.
Okay. But there is no provision anywhere that would allow this. And so the question came, our cemetery manager contacted. Yes. Okay. So the person at issue is deceased. Mm. So the question came to our cemetery manager. The cemetery manager had no idea what the answer was, called Kelly. Kelly had no idea what the answer was. Looked through the ordinance, there's nothing that talks about it.
Sure.
And I was asked to authorize it. And I said, before I start authorizing things for the mm-hmm. cemetery, I want to hear from the council.
Sure.
So I'm asking, and this is likely to be more frequent in the future.
Yeah, that's the way that it's going now.
So assuming that there is not something that is found in the book by our attorney that would prevent that, does anybody have a problem with it or an objection to it?
No.
Penny?
No.
Jill?
No, it's fine.
Should be encouraged. We're actually saving a space that way.
It's more mm-hmm. ecologically
waste of space.
Sound.
I'm fine with it.
I know, right. Yeah. I'm saying good reason to do it.
I'm not sure that falls under, the mayor's administrator of the town, but not the cemetery.
Okay.
We now move, unless there's other new business at the table, we now move to the public comment period, which, as I have explained earlier in the meeting, is free time. Ms. Sherrick, could you please come to the microphone, name, address?
Known as Sherrick for Maple Court, and this time your father's not here, but I still have lived here longer than he was because I've been here since I'm 4 weeks old, off and on, but most of the time. I have a couple of things I want to talk about. One is, this is new business. I want to talk...
No, this is public comment. You can talk about whatever.
I want to talk about the way the tax sales are now handled. I don't know if this was a state law or if it's just the way Roosevelt's doing it. It used to be that you would go off for tax sale for the previous year in December, and if you didn't pay your taxes for the following year, you would go up again for tax sale, and you would have two separate liens on your property. So, and I guess there are 3 or 4 years in between that you have to pay the money. So if you came up with the $8,000 or whatever it's going to be, you could pay off the first one, and you have another year to get the money to pay off the second one before they could take your home. Well, that, I was very lucky I was able to get the money, but that is no longer how it's done. How it's done is a corporation buys your taxes, and when the next tax comes up, let's say November, February, or whatever, they add that on to the lien. So unbeknownst to myself, thinking I only had to come up with the $8,000, I suddenly had a much higher figure. And I was very lucky. My house is going on the market, but I was very lucky that I was able to borrow that money. But there's no way out for people. There's no way out that you suddenly have to come up with $25,000 or $30,000. Coming up with $8,000, you can borrow $500 here, $500 there, and say, I'll give you $20 a month or whatever. It's very unfair. I don't know if this is a state law or if it's just the way the borough is handling it now. But I think that the people of our community should be notified if they are going to tax sale, whether it be the first year or the second year, that if they do call Sal, who happens to be the nicest guy in the world, and they say something before it goes to the next tax sale, they can be separated. And I just think it's a way for these corporations to take the homes from people. It's a very unfair situation. I've called Lesniak's office. I don't know who our state senator is, but if it's not Bob Singer, nobody's going to listen. You know, I love Bob. So I was going to contact his office and talk to him about how we go about fighting this or changing it. Okay? And I'd like it somebody, whatever committee handles that, to also question, is this a state law or is it just the way it's being handled in Roosevelt? Okay?
I believe that would be finance.
Is that finance?
Yeah.
Okay. Next thing, I want to talk about public works. Do we have a public works person?
We have three employees, maybe four employees.
Okay. I don't walk that much at this time of year. But there's so much that needs to be done around this town. It's not happening. Like, right by where your dad's house is on Homestead, the trees are growing in 3-4 feet into the road. On near the creek on Tamara. It's so bad. It's so filled with leaves and things growing into the road, there's no excuse. I saw Allen's was hired for my street to cut stuff down because there's stuff on the right-of-way that's grandfathered in. And you couldn't even park a car on my street. Our new neighbors in Oberlander's house, which is the corner of Pine and on Maple, they're cleaning the street. Because, and it's not even where they should be cleaning it. It took them 3 days to get the stuff that's never been removed on a brand new road because there were trees growing in the road. That road's only about 10 years old on my street.
To which road are you referring?
Maple.
Cedar? Maple?
But I don't see anything happening with public works. You know, I don't know about the whole thing. I know the butterfly garden. Luckily, the milkweed's growing on my property, and I don't have to do anything. But it's like a miracle. But I don't see anything happen.
If I may, these are things that as they come up...
They've been there for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
They shouldn't be waiting for 10 years for somebody to come up to the podium.
But the public works person should be going around town and seeing what needs to be done. I shouldn't have to come to a meeting and tell somebody that if you drive on this street, you have to drive down the middle of the road because trees are growing into the road.
I've done it. I've come here. I've also called the state when it was the state property. I've called the county when it was county property. And the county told me, if it's on our property, we'll take care of it. If it's growing onto your road, your problem. That was their response.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that these things should be going on, but a lot of the stuff, the budget for public works is just not that big.
You have 3 to 4 employees. What are they doing?
No, you asked about utilities.
No, I said, I did not. I said... Public works.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Utilities has 3 employees. Public works has 1.
And
who
what
is also the deputy OEM, deputy clerk, general grounds cleaner. There's a list in the other room. But we are working with Allentown so that we can jointly hire an additional public works person part-time to help out. They are absolutely overwhelmed, and we are trying to get somebody else in. But if we can work something out with Allentown, it's going to be much more attractive for somebody to come in for 40 hours rather than 20.
Okay.
So you're right. They are overloaded. And I apologize. I misunderstood what you were just...
No, I definitely said public works.
I believe you. I apologize.
There was one other thing. I want to talk about some of the stuff you said at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay.
I've been on both sides, not here. I've been ridiculed by the council when I was here every meeting for 10 years trying to get the water fixed on my street. Those of you, poor Michael Hamilton had to deal with that. I was not pleasant. It is not pleasant to be ridiculed. But what I'm seeing here today, and I will say he who shall not be named, and certain portions of the Congress, are behaving just like you guys. Jeff, I love you. I've loved you my whole life. We've been friends forever. But when I hear you conveniently, it sounds to me like conveniently forget things. But now that I mean, be honest, now that I hear you not hearing me, it could possibly be possible. It's not nice to watch. It's awful. I watch TV. I stop watching news channels. And I come here and I see the same exact thing. People name-calling. People saying they don't remember. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I said because I just want to do this. Well, he who shall not be named, that's what he does every day. What does that say about our council? It's sad. And if you put yourself in that category, what does that say about you guys? And I'm not saying, you know, pointing anybody out. But I've been on both sides of this. I've been the ridiculer, and I've been ridiculed. When we had the yeshiva thing, not here, you can't even imagine what I went through. Being called names, the F word, everything, being laughed at, all so that they could get their own way. And that's what I see happening. That's, you know, I stopped coming to meetings. When I was here the other day, it was hideous. And I wasn't at the bad one. And what I saw today was almost as bad. Please, you do not forget. It was horrible. And I just want those of you who were involved in this to think about what you did and how you voted. Because it's really very sad.
Thank you for your comment. Anybody else in the audience like to speak? Sir?
Kurt Muser, Pine Drive. I have three issues. One is on-street parking. Is there any ordinance regarding on-street parking?
Yes.
Okay, because
I now know it by heart. There is in the from the last meeting in the zoning ordinance there are zoning regulations relating to RVs, trucks, and the like, and then Section 7 of our borough code specifically lays out those streets and those areas in which parking is permitted or not permitted at various times. And of course, when there's snow on the road, get your car off because it might get run over.
Okay, because I leave for work at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's foggy, it's like running a gauntlet going up the road because, yourself included, parked here, and then directly across there's a car parked here. I mean, the tanker goes down to the sewage treatment plant. It's got to be difficult for him to get through. Fire trucks, how are they going to get through? It's just, you know, there's a house up on Pine Drive. It was a foreclosure that just sold. They have about 8 cars in their driveway sometimes and out on the street. It's just a little ridiculous.
Okay, so there are two parts to that. The first is Pine Drive is not an area in which you cannot park your car. However, I take your point. I will speak to my son who owns that black car that you're asking about and make sure that it gets pushed further into the lawn, number one. Number two, I will talk to our neighbors across the street because from time to time when I back out, I have the same issue. And your point is taken, understood, and we'll go talk to the boy.
Okay. Another question.
Can I just say, Mr. Reza, unfortunately, these houses were built during the Depression.
Understood.
There are such narrow driveways, and the streets are really narrow. It's really hard for everyone. No one likes to see the cars on the grass. They're not supposed to be there. But it's like a no-win situation.
Understood.
Not enough room in the driveway. It's dangerous on the street. There's really...
Understood, but when you live in the city, like, say, Manhattan, you don't have room in front of your building to park. You park in a parking garage. I mean, that's not going to happen here. I don't expect anybody to go to a parking garage. But, okay. Another question. Is the borough ever going to get with this decade or this century regarding the water bill and make it available to pay online?
We actually had this discussion. This fight has been going on for... By the way, just as an aside, the parking ordinance, which you are seeking, I believe has been in the planning board, I don't know, for, what, 12 or 15 years? I forget
12,
which one.
Yeah, we shot it down.
And every time you get near some kind of resolution, somebody says, well, what about the courts? And then all hell breaks loose.
Because no matter what you try to do, someone's going to be out of compliance.
Okay.
Also, the zoning ordinance really doesn't deal with the on-street parking. It deals with the parking on the properties. The street parking would be police ordinances. Like, for example, we have an ordinance that says you can't park overnight in front of any property other than your own property.
Okay.
We did have that.
And a third issue. And I don't know if this is...
I'm going to answer your second issue, however.
Okay.
And that is that we have been pushing that for quite a while. We approved it, I think, a month and a half ago, or maybe 2 months ago. The implementation is going to commence in January. What we're doing is we have an existing system here. We have a completely different system with the tax collector. The tax collector is being moved on to a new system. It will allow you to pay by credit card. It will allow you to pay monthly. Your bill will still be bimonthly.
Right.
But you can pay on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Right? Because doing a monthly bill causes all kinds of expenses and problems.
Because we had tried before, we don't accept partial payments, and
That is changing as soon as they can get it implemented and trained. So.
All right. And another issue. Back in, I believe it was 2010, I had to have my water heater replaced. The contractor tried to shut my water off both from the street and up at the house. Neither of the valves were working. George Restore, I guess when he was still Public Works or Water Department, came over and attempted with his tools to get things shut off and couldn't do it. He said, I'll get somebody with a backhoe. The borough will have to rent the backhoe to do it. And this is 2010, and I still can't shut my water off.
What's your address?
54 Pine.
One of those houses that's set way, way back?
I'm kind of. I have out at the street, and then I have one right up against the house. And, you know, I've contemplated not paying my water bill so that you guys would come over and shut it off. we can't shut it off. Let's dig it up. You know. But if, God forbid, I break a pipe or something, because the house is old, I have no way of shutting the water off.
You're absolutely correct. That should be replaced, and we'll arrange to have that replaced promptly. But you will want to work with utilities, the utilities department, to make sure that they're replacing it or turning it off at about the same time your plumber's coming in, because you need one in your house as well.
Well, what they wound up doing with the water heater was freezing the pipes and while they did the water heater. So it's done. It's just a matter of if, God forbid, a pipe breaks, you know, my water bill's going to be $1 zillion.
No, I'm just saying try to coordinate with them so that...
Understood.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Saving the trouble.
Thank you.
Ms. Bronco?
Melissa Branco, 15 Homestead Lane.
Please, Nona.
A few things. Back when Homestead Lane was, or part of it, was repaved, beforehand I'd handed in, like 2006, 2007, and 2008, some petitions asking if we could have speed humps or bumps put in, because folks really fly up and down our street, and it is, you know, considering Roosevelt, it's like a big hill. But when we had the paving done, and I came and I asked, for some reason, it did not get done. Lack of money, or maybe the engineer wasn't told. So if the rest of Homestead is going to be paved in the near future, I can certainly bring you copies, although a lot of these people don't live here anymore, and I don't really want to go around and do another petition.
Can we put that on the next meeting agenda? And that way we can get whatever comments we need from the engineer, because that would be part of the...
It might have been done back when you did the first part.
Yeah, but when they do the grant proposal, that's where it would come in. And it may have been done in that process, and since we didn't get the grant proposal, I mean the grant, that may have been part of it, but I don't know.
Because people just fly up and down. Secondly, back when I was a secretary for the first aid squad, historically, we have elections in November, and then in December or January, Jack Rint or I would prepare a list. So you should have one on file every January, whether you have one from January 2016, I don't know, where we would list. We have, by law, we have to send it to Monmouth County, to EMS-1, listing who the line officers are with contact names.
Don't we have that hanging in the office?
So you should have a list for the
first
aid squad.
I think it just hasn't been updated.
Maybe in the past year.
We get the list,
and
the list is, because I know I get it delivered, now that you're mentioning that, I do get it delivered.
Right, we would, Jack and I mean, you have to have that. And the fire company, they update their list on their website.
Yeah, they're...
That's different than handing you a list, but it is available.
They're going to come in with a list on the 27th for us to vote on.
Okay, but 2016 is here. And then thirdly, which is probably my last thing, at the last meeting, I was relieved to see that to fund the EMS, the four-bay EMS building, it would work out to approximately, actually it's $10.83 a family monthly. And so for 20 years, if you multiply that for each household, it's a grand total of $2,600. And that's what each of us would contribute over a 20-year period to have a viable, safe EMS building. And personally, I don't think that the $2,600 over ratable of 20 years is a huge amount for what we get. Just saying.
Thank you for your comment. Mayor, did you want to speak?
No, thank you. I don't need to have 20 minutes of Homestead ran out of funds.
Have what?
Homestead ran out of... I said I don't need to put it in the minutes that Homestead
ran out of funds.
Ran out of funds.
Right.
We had
but
one.
We still got the speeder, so we have more.
Is there anybody who would like to speak who has not yet spoken? Yes, Ms. Parrott.
Hi. Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I just wanted to clarify when you went in the through the meeting about the different ordinances, or I'm sorry, resolutions authorizing R3M for money, what mm-hmm. those ordinance numbers are.
16-20.
And that was for...
That was January 4.
$25,000. Okay.
That was the initial resolution approving their contract. 16-60, $20,000, May 9.
Well, could I just stop you there before you, because I have that one that I got from Borough Hall, from the clerk, and it's very confusing. Well, I'll show it to you. It says it's for $10,000. And then,
That's 1686. So maybe I got 1660 and 1686 confused, but I can find out.
Yeah, this also, I guess, was very confusing because it says it's for $10,000. But then at the end, it says that there was a $25,000 prior resolution.
I'm sorry, what resolution are you looking at? 16-60, I'm looking at is May 9, 2016. It says, where is the resolution? Let's see, the Borough Council wishes to authorize an additional $20,000 for the services provided under the agreement. Now, therefore, resolved, Borough Council... that an additional $20,000 is hereby authorized for the services of Michael
Sandman. Okay. Well, then the one I have must be incorrect. Anyway, so that was for 20. I guess I don't have the. Okay, that was for 20. Then what was the next one?
1686.
That was. That's all of them, three?
Well, and then there was a proposed resolution on November 4, which is the one that has been discussed most recently.
But was that passed also?
I believe no. I believe it was not passed.
It was not passed. Then I also had done an OPA request for this $55,000 bill that was mentioned at during a prior meeting. That my understanding that it was not authorized. The work leading to that bill had not been authorized. That was just what was said at the meeting. So I wondered. I couldn't get the. The clerk didn't have that bill when I came up here and asked for the OPA request.
Okay. Well, you submitted an OPA request. Is it within the 10-day period?
Well, I got everything but that bill. I got the response, but it didn't have that in it.
Okay. And are we within the 10-day period? I understand that you came in and you asked for it. And
right. I just wondered, is it it's available to the clerk then?
I'm not sure where it is, but I'm sure that the clerk will find it in response to the OPA request.
I would have to get it from the finance department.
Oh, okay. So, but it is available. That's
no, okay. That's how she said she'd have to get it from
she'll
finance.
Get it.
I'm assuming that, that they have
it.
So.
I don't know what they have. I only invoices go to finance. So when an OPA request comes in, I ask from finance for those particular items.
All right.
Not,
I just want.
I see you looking at Councilwoman Malkin. Not that finance. She
no,
means
sure.
She means Anna.
Yeah.
No, okay. That's, I thought you meant.
No.
For Anna. Oh, okay. All right. No, it
sorry, I could see where you were looking, and that wasn't.
But I just
didn't.
I was ready to tell her that's not. Yeah.
Wasn't. No.
No.
Oh, finance, Anna. Okay, Anna. All right. Well, that's fine. It is within the 10 days.
Unfortunately, Anna called in sick today. So.
But I got the other ones, but then I didn't get that one, so I just thought, well, maybe it's not available. I don't know. But so it's with the.
They may have missed it, or she may not have.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I forwarded what I got. But I did get your email, and I will check with her again when she comes in.
Remember that the Anna, the finance department, however we're referring to poor Anna, gets invoices to pay. If the invoice goes into dispute or becomes part of the discussion, it can get pulled back from her. So she may not, during that period, have had it in her possession. But she's very good about getting together whatever needs to be gotten together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anybody who has not spoken who would like to speak? Nona, Ms. Sherrick?
Hi. Two things. First, Melissa, thank you for reminding me about this. Nona Sherrick again. The speed bump on Pine, which is in front of Jill's house, which she just loves when people go over it really hard in the middle of the night, has deteriorated so terribly that it's falling apart. And not only has it deteriorated, it so needs to be repainted. You can't even see it on a foggy night. And I'd like if you could put something like to make it brighter, it would be great.
How do you feel about Klieg lights in front of your house?
She wants a spotlight that goes right into her windows. Okay. The parking. People are parking in the wrong direction. Your neighbors are the worst at it.
Excuse me.
You know,
please speak
Maureen.
To the council.
You can't see those cars at night because the white lights are facing you when you're coming in. There are a lot of areas in town where there are not necessarily street lights. So if you don't see the red lights, which brighten up when you drive by, you can hit those cars. And I know what is a way to, they need to be ticketed. How do we go about that?
Well, you can call the state police.
And they will come and give them parking tickets?
No idea.
They have.
But we certainly do not have the authority as a municipality to issue tickets.
They have so done that. There's some occasion that they
if
went
they
through the whole
town. If they don't have anything pressing, they'll
do it.
Low priority, but they'll do it if they're
Is there any way to put notices on people's cars that are in the wrong way saying, you know, we're going to... The state police is going to start being called if you don't start parking in the right direction.
You can put those notices up. We, as the government, would be ill-advised to do that. And I wouldn't get caught doing it, by the way.
Well, or could we put a sign up on the bulletin board asking people to park in the correct direction?
The bulletin board is open to everybody in the borough. Feel free to put up whatever you'd like, within reason.
We could put something in the borough bulletin about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been noted as a problem. Yeah. Do that.
Okay, that's fair. I'm done.
Did you lose the name? Anybody else? Do I have a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Until some of those boxes are moved, then we will. Okay. Thank you. It's very. Cal, it's very nice of you to.
I know.
Oh, I didn't hear the
Well, I took
most of
it.
Sure. I mean, so you want coke?
Here.